Deep foundations, static rotations, vision language action models, and continuous control systems. Introduction: three pillars of modern robotic intelligence. Today we're going to embark on a technical journey through three interconnected areas that represent some of the most challenging problems in modern robotics and AI. We'll start with a fundamental question about coordinate systems and rotations that touches the very core of how we represent robot motion in space. Then we'll dive deep into the cutting-edge WALOS architecture, a vision language action model that represents a significant leap forward in bridging natural language understanding with robotic control. Finally, we'll explore the nuances of continuous reinforcement learning and the implementation challenges that arise when we move beyond discrete action spaces. What makes this particularly interesting is how these three areas interconnect. The way we represent rotations affects how we design action spaces. The challenges of continuous action spaces directly impact how we architect vision language action models. And the solutions we develop for tokenizing continuous actions reveal deep insights about the nature of robotic intelligence itself. Let's start by building solid foundations with coordinate systems and rotations, then progressively layer on the architectural complexity that makes modern robotic systems possible. Foundations: understanding static rotations and coordinate systems. The mental model: two ways to think about rotation. When we talk about static rotations, we're addressing one of the most fundamental and often misunderstood concepts in robotics, the difference between intrinsic and extrinsic rotations. Let's build this understanding from first principles. Imagine you're holding a smartphone in your hand. You want to describe how to rotate it to show someone the screen. There are two fundamentally different ways to think about this rotation. Approach 1. Body relative instructions. First, rotate 90 degrees around your current x-axis, then 45 degrees around your new y-axis. This is intrinsic rotation. Each subsequent rotation happens relative to the object's current orientation. Approach 2. World fixed instructions. Rotate 90 degrees around the global x-axis, then 45 degrees around the global y-axis. This is extrinsic rotation, also known as static rotation. Every rotation happens relative to a fixed world reference frame. The distinction is crucial because the same sequence of rotations will produce completely different final orientations depending on which interpretation you use. This isn't just academic, it's the source of countless bugs in robotic systems. Why static rotations matter in robotics? Static rotations become particularly important when you're commanding a robot arm or mobile robot. Consider the send command function that might exist in a robotic system. When you specify a rotation command, you need to be absolutely clear about your reference frame. With static rotations, every rotation is applied in the world coordinate frame. This means that a rotation of 30 degrees around Z, then 45 degrees around X, will always mean the same thing regardless of the robot's current orientation. The Z-axis and X-axis are fixed in space, not relative to the robot's body. This approach has several advantages. It's predictable, it's composable, you can add rotations by simply concatenating the operations, and it's intuitive for human operators who naturally think in terms of up, right, and forward. In the world space, the mathematical representation typically uses rotation matrices applied in sequence. If you have rotations R1, R2, R3 to be applied, the final orientation matrix becomes R-final equals R3, R2, R1 when using static rotations. The multiplication order is crucial here. We apply R1 first, then R2, then R3, all in the world frame. The implementation perspective. From an implementation standpoint, static rotations simplify many robotic control algorithms. When you're planning a trajectory, you can think about waypoints in world coordinates without constantly transforming between reference frames. The robot state struct might maintain both the robot's current pose in world coordinates and the target pose, making it straightforward to compute the rotation needed to reach the target. This becomes particularly important when dealing with vision-guided manipulation. The computer vision system naturally provides object poses in world coordinates relative to the camera or a known reference frame. If your robot's motion planning system also thinks in world coordinates through static rotations, you avoid the complexity of continuously transforming between reference frames. However, there's a trade-off. While static rotations are conceptually simpler and more predictable, they can sometimes feel less natural when you're trying to describe complex manipulations where the robot needs to maintain certain orientations relative to its own body or the object it's manipulating. The Vision Language Action Challenge. Understanding WALOS, the three fundamental gaps. Now let's shift gears and examine one of the most sophisticated attempts to bridge natural language understanding with robotic control. The WALOS architecture tackles what researchers have identified as three fundamental gaps that prevent us from simply taking a large language model and turning it into a robot controller. The first gap is modality mismatch. Language models excel at processing text tokens and image patches, but robots need continuous trajectories through space. When you tell a robot, "Pick up the red cup," the language model understands the semantic content, but somehow that understanding needs to be converted into a precise sequence of joint angles, velocities, and forces. This isn't just a matter of translation, it's a fundamental difference in representation. The second gap is distributional shift. Vision language models are trained on internet data, photographs, web pages, videos from YouTube. But robot perception involves very different statistics, specific camera angles, lighting conditions, and types of objects that rarely appear in internet training data. A model trained to recognize cats in Instagram photos may struggle to identify a wrench in a cluttered workshop. The third gap is objective mismatch. Language models are trained with next token prediction. Given a sequence of tokens, predict what comes next. This objective works well for generating coherent text, but robotic control requires generating smooth, continuous actions that achieve specific physical goals. The temporal dynamics and physical constraints are entirely different. The tokenization gulf, why discretization fails. Let's dive deeper into what the WALOS paper calls the tokenization gulf. This is perhaps the most subtle but crucial challenge in building vision language action models. Traditional language models work entirely with discrete tokens. Every input and output is quantized into a finite vocabulary. But robot actions are inherently continuous. A joint angle might be 0.384729918 radians, and that precision matters for successful manipulation. The naive approach is to discretize the action space. You might round 0.384729918 radians to the nearest token representing 0.38 radians. But this immediately introduces several problems. First, you lose precision. Real robot control often requires submillimeter accuracy. Discretization errors accumulate over time, leading to drift and failure. Second, you break smoothness assumptions. Robot controllers expect smooth trajectories. When you quantize actions and then try to execute them, you get jerky, discontinuous motion that can damage equipment or fail to achieve delicate manipulation tasks. Third, you create a vocabulary explosion. To maintain reasonable precision, you need an enormous number of tokens to represent the continuous action space. With 7 degrees of freedom and reasonable precision, you might need millions of action tokens. The WALOS architecture solves this through a sophisticated approach that maintains continuous action generation while still leveraging the power of pre-trained language models. WALOS architecture. Mixture of experts with static routing. The core insight behind WALOS is architectural. Use a mixture of experts design with static routing to maintain modality separation while enabling cross-modal interaction. Let's understand this step by step. The architecture starts with QuenVL2-53B as the backbone, a proven vision language model. But instead of trying to force this model to directly generate robot actions, WALOS adds a parallel expert pathway specifically designed for action generation. Here's the crucial architectural decision, static routing. In traditional mixture of experts models, a learned router decides which expert to use for each token. The router uses softmax weights or top K selection, and these routing decisions are learned during training. WALOS takes a different approach. The routing is static and deterministic. Language tokens are always routed to the vision language FFN, and action tokens are always routed to the action FFN. This guarantees modality separation throughout training. Why is this so important? During training, gradient updates flow through the routing decisions. In a learned routing system, the gradients from action prediction tasks might cause the router to start sending language tokens to the action expert, or vice versa. This leads to what the authors call architectural drift. The model loses its ability to process language properly as it optimizes for action generation. With static routing, this contamination is impossible. The vision language FFN maintains its pre-trained weights and capabilities, while the action FFN specializes in continuous action generation. Yet both pathways interact through the shared self-attention mechanism, allowing for rich cross-modal understanding. Think of it as having two specialized processors, one that maintains language understanding and one that learns robotic control, with a shared communication channel, attention, but no risk of interference during optimization. Multi-stage training, preventing catastrophic forgetting. The training pipeline for WallOS is particularly sophisticated and deserves careful analysis. The challenge is maintaining the language model's original capabilities while adding robotic control abilities. This is a classic case of catastrophic forgetting. Neural networks tend to overwrite old knowledge when learning new tasks. Stage 1, inspiration. The first stage aims to inspire the vision language model with understanding of robot environments and course action concepts. The model trains on embodied visual question answering tasks. Given an image of a robot environment and a question like, what action should the robot take next? The model learns to provide reasoned responses. Crucially, actions at this stage are represented as discrete tokens using fast tokenization. FAST is a clever approach that converts continuous actions to discrete tokens through a multi-step process. Apply discrete cosine transform to the action sequence. Quantize the DCT coefficients, then apply byte pair encoding to create tokens. This stage trains only the original VLM feedforward networks, FFNs. The action FFN doesn't exist yet. The model learns to reason about robot tasks and generate discrete action representations, but it's still operating entirely within the familiar discrete token paradigm. Stage 2A, integration stage, continuous learning with frozen backbone. The second stage introduces continuous action generation through flow matching. Flow matching is a generative modeling technique that learns to transform noise into structured data through a continuous deformation process. Here's the critical training decision. The VLM backbone, all the original parameters that, is frozen. Only the new action FFN and flowhead, parameters 5, are trainable. The flow matching loss function drives the system to learn continuous action generation. Xt equals 1 minus t, x0 plus 3 a t. L integration equals c, e w t v phi x t h t. This formulation learns to predict the vector field that transforms a noise sample if into the target action x0, conditioned on the visual and language features h. By freezing the backbone, this stage prevents action generation gradients from corrupting the model's language understanding. The action FFN learns to interpret the frozen language features and generate appropriate continuous actions. Stage 2B, integration stage, joint training. Finally, the system unfreezes everything and trains both the VLM backbone and the action FFN together. Now gradients flow through the entire network, allowing tight coupling between language understanding and action generation. This joint training phase is where the magic happens. The VLM backbone can adapt its internal representations to better support action generation, while the action FFN can leverage richer features from the backbone. But because the system has already learned a good initialization in the previous stages, this joint training doesn't destroy the language capabilities. Unified cross-level chain of thought. One of the most innovative aspects of WallOS is how it generalizes chain of thought reasoning beyond language into the sensory-motor domain. Traditional chain of thought prompting helps language models solve complex problems by generating intermediate reasoning steps. Let me think step by step. WallOS extends this concept across the entire semantic to sensory motor spectrum. Instruction, reasoning, caught, subtask plan, continuous actions. The model doesn't just generate actions directly from instructions. Instead, it generates explicit reasoning, I need to pick up the cup, then generates a subtask decomposition. First approach the cup, then grasp it, then lift. And finally generates the continuous motor actions to execute each subtask. This has profound implications for interpretability and reliability. you can examine the model's reasoning process before it acts. If the reasoning is wrong, you can intervene before the robot makes a mistake. If the reasoning is correct, but the actions fail, you know the problem is in the motor control rather than the understanding. The training uses a path drop objective. Sometimes the model sees the full reasoning chain. Sometimes it's trained to skip directly from instruction to action. This teaches the model when explicit reasoning is necessary and when direct action is appropriate. Continuous control and reinforcement learning insights the Q learning challenge in continuous domains. Now let's examine the challenges that arise when we move from discrete to continuous action spaces in reinforcement learning. This connects directly to the issues we saw with WallOS, the fundamental tension between discrete representations and continuous control. Traditional Q learning works by maintaining a table or neural network that estimates the value of taking each possible action in each state, QSA. For discrete action spaces, this is straightforward. You have a finite number of actions to consider. But what happens when actions are continuous? You can't maintain a Q value for every possible real number. There are uncountably infinite possibilities. Even with neural network approximation, how do you find the action that maximizes QSA when A can be any real vector? This leads to several algorithmic approaches. Discretization, quantize the continuous action space into discrete bins. This is simple, but suffers from the same problems we saw with WallOS, loss of precision and unnatural discontinuities. Actor-critic methods. Separate the value estimation critic from action selection actor. The critic learns QSA, while the actor learns a policy PI-S that directly outputs continuous actions. DDPG and SAC are popular examples. Continuous Q learning, techniques like NAF, normalized advantage functions, or QTOP that maintain continuous Q functions and use optimization methods to find the best action. Numerical stability in continuous action distributions. Let's examine some implementation details that are crucial for making continuous action learning work in practice. The brain dump mentions a specific insight about probability distributions that's worth understanding deeply. When modeling continuous action distributions, we typically use parameterized distributions like Gaussians. The robot's policy network outputs parameters, mean, and standard deviation for a Gaussian distribution over actions. Here's a crucial implementation detail. Instead of directly outputting standard deviation values, most implementations output log standard deviation. This transformation serves two critical purposes. First, it ensures the standard deviation cannot become negative. Since log sysdu can be any real number, but sigma equals xp log is always positive, the network can output any value without violating the mathematical constraints of the distribution. Second, it improves numerical stability. Very small standard deviations indicating high confidence correspond to large negative log values, while large standard deviations correspond to large positive log values. This avoids the numerical issues that arise when working directly with very small probability values. The brain dump also mentions making standard deviation independent of state. This is an interesting architectural choice. Instead of having the policy network compute both mean and standard deviation from the current state, some implementations use a learnable parameter for log standard deviation that's shared across all states. This simplifies the architecture and can improve learning in environments where the appropriate level of exploration doesn't vary much across different states. However, it's a trade-off. State-dependent noise might be beneficial in environments where some states require more exploration than others. The probability to log transform. Mathematical insights. There's a deeper mathematical insight here about why taking logarithms of probabilities is so ubiquitous in machine learning. When you have multiple independent events with probabilities P1, P2, P3, the joint probability is their product, P equals P1, P2, P3. But products are computationally challenging. They can underflow to zero with many small probabilities, and they don't satisfy nice mathematical properties for optimization. Taking logarithms transforms products into sums, log p equals log p1 plus log p2 plus log p3. This transformation has several advantages. Numerical stability, small probabilities become reasonable negative numbers instead of values that underflow to zero. Computational efficiency, addition is faster than multiplication, and many hardware accelerators are optimized for sum reductions. Optimization properties. Log probabilities have better gradients for optimization. The log transformation converts exponential relationships into linear ones, which are easier for neural networks to learn. Statistical interpretation. Log probabilities correspond to surprisal or information content. High surprisal, large negative log probability, indicates an unlikely event. This is why most deep learning frameworks work internally with log probabilities and log likelihoods rather than raw probability values. Architectural patterns and implementation insights, pipeline-based systems, and state management. The brain dump mentions pipeline-based agents, similar to systems that call OpenAI APIs and use state machines, and discusses how these non-differentiable interfaces limit performance. Let's examine this architectural pattern and understand its implications. In many robotic systems, you'll find architectures that look like this. A high-level planner generates waypoints. A motion planner converts waypoints to trajectories. A controller executes trajectories. And various state machines coordinate the overall behavior. Each component is separately implemented and tested. This modular approach has advantages. Each component can be understood and debugged independently. Teams can work on different modules in parallel, and you can swap out individual components for different variants. But there's a fundamental limitation. These pipeline stages are typically non-differentiable. You can't backpropagate gradients from the final robot performance back through the motion planner to improve the high-level planner's decisions. This matters enormously when you're trying to learn end-to-end robotic behaviors. Each stage in the pipeline might be individually optimal, but the overall system performance can be severely suboptimal due to poor interactions between stages. Consider a system where a language understanding module interprets "pick up the cup," a perception module identifies cup locations, and a motion planner generates reaching trajectories. If the motion planner fails because the perception module provided slightly inaccurate positions, there's no gradient signal to improve the perception module's accuracy for manipulation-relevant features. The promise and challenge of end-to-end learning. This is why end-to-end differentiable systems like WALLUS are so compelling. When the vision processing, language understanding, reasoning, and action generation are all implemented as differentiable neural network components, you can train the entire system to optimize for final task performance. But implementing truly end-to-end systems requires solving several challenging problems. Representation learning. Early stages of the pipeline must learn features that are useful for downstream tasks, not just for their immediate objectives. Credit assignment. When final performance is poor, the system must determine which components are responsible and adjust their parameters appropriately. Stability. Joint training of many components can lead to unstable learning dynamics where improvements in one component break another. Interpretability. End-to-end systems can become black boxes where it's difficult to understand or debug failures. Asynchronous processing and state management. Real robotic systems must handle asynchronous processing and state management. The robot's sensors provide data at different rates, control commands must be sent at regular intervals, and the planning system might take variable amounts of time to compute actions. A well-designed system might use message queues to decouple different processing stages. The perception system publishes state updates to a queue, the planning system subscribes to state updates and publishes action commands, and the control system executes actions from the command queue. This asynchronous architecture prevents any single slow component from blocking the entire system. If vision processing takes longer than expected, the control system can continue executing the last planned action until a new plan becomes available. However, implementing this correctly requires careful attention to several concerns. State consistency. When the planner reads robot state, it must get a consistent snapshot that doesn't change partway through planning. Latency management. Actions computed based on old state information might be inappropriate by the time they're executed. Error handling. What happens when a queue fills up, a component fails, or communication is lost? Resource management. different components might compete for computational resources, especially when using GPU acceleration for neural network inference. Flow matching and continuous action generation. Let's return to the technical details of how WallOS generates continuous actions through flow matching. This is a sophisticated generative modeling technique that deserves careful understanding. Traditional approaches to generating continuous data often use variational autoencoders or generative adversarial networks. Flow matching represents a newer approach that's particularly well-suited for robotics applications. The core idea is to learn a continuous transformation that maps from a simple noise distribution, like a standard Gaussian, to the target data distribution, robot actions. The transformation is parameterized as a vector field that describes how to move points through space over time. During training, the system learns to predict this vector field. Given a noisy version of the target action and a time parameter, the network learns to predict the direction and magnitude of change needed to move toward the true action. At inference time, you start with random noise and apply the learned vector field repeatedly, gradually transforming the noise into a valid robot action. This process is entirely differentiable and generates smooth, continuous actions. The mathematical formulation involves defining a continuous path between noise F and target action X0. XT equals 1 minus rho of T X0 plus rho of T. The network learns to predict the vector field V phi that transforms XT toward X0. The training objective minimizes the difference between the predicted vector field and the true direction from XT to X0. This approach has several advantages for robotics. It generates smooth actions, it's fully differentiable, and it can be conditioned on visual and language inputs to generate contextually appropriate behaviors. Synthesis toward integrated robotic intelligence, connecting the pieces. We've covered three seemingly different technical areas, but they're deeply interconnected. The challenge of representing rotations in a consistent coordinate frame connects to the challenge of representing actions in a way that neural networks can process effectively. The tokenization gulf problem in WallOS mirrors the discretization challenges in continuous reinforcement learning. And the architectural patterns we see in both WallOS and Atlas-style systems reflect fundamental trade-offs between modularity and end-to-end optimization. Understanding static rotations helps us appreciate why consistent coordinate frame handling is crucial for any robotic system. Whether you're planning trajectories, interpreting visual information, or executing learned policies, having a clear and consistent way to represent spatial relationships prevents entire classes of bugs and enables more robust behavior. The WallOS architecture represents a sophisticated attempt to bridge the semantic understanding of language models with the sensorimotor requirements of robotics. Its multi-stage training pipeline, static routing architecture, and flow matching approach provide a template for future vision language action systems. The continuous reinforcement learning insights remind us that real robotic intelligence requires handling continuous, high-dimensional action spaces with all their associated challenges around numerical stability, exploration, and credit assignment. Looking forward, the future of robotic intelligence. As we look toward the future of robotic intelligence, several trends become clear. Architectural integration. Future systems will increasingly integrate perception, reasoning, and control into end-to-end differentiable architectures. The modular pipeline approach that dominates current robotics will give way to more holistic designs that can optimize for overall task performance. Multimodal foundation models. Vision language models are just the beginning. Future foundation models will incorporate tactile, proprioceptive, and even auditory modalities, providing robots with richer sensory understanding. Continuous representations. The tension between discrete tokens and continuous control will be resolved through sophisticated approaches like flow matching that can bridge these different representational spaces while maintaining the advantages of each. Real-world robustness. Current systems work well in controlled laboratory settings, but real-world deployment requires handling uncertainty, partial observability, and distribution shift. Future architectures must be designed from the ground up for robustness. Implementation considerations. For practitioners implementing these ideas, several key considerations emerge. Start with strong foundations. Whether implementing rotation handling, continuous action spaces, or vision language integration, solid mathematical foundations and clear architectural principles are essential. The details matter enormously for systems that must work reliably in the physical world. Design for debuggability. End-to-end systems can become opaque black boxes. Building in interpretability, logging, and debugging capabilities from the beginning is crucial for developing reliable robotic systems. Handle edge cases. Robotic systems must work reliably across a wide range of conditions. Pay special attention to numerical stability, error handling, and graceful degradation when components fail. Test incrementally. The complexity of integrated robotic systems makes comprehensive testing challenging. Design systems that can be tested and validated at multiple levels of integration. The journey from static rotations through vision language action models to continuous reinforcement learning illustrates the extraordinary technical depth required to build truly intelligent robotic systems. Each component must be implemented with care, but the real challenge lies in integrating these components into coherent architectures that can learn, adapt, and perform reliably in the complex continuous world of physical robotics. As we continue to push the boundaries of what's possible in robotic intelligence, these foundational concepts, consistent coordinate representations, differentiable architectures, and continuous control, will remain central to our progress. The future of robotics lies not just in advancing individual techniques, but in understanding how to integrate them into systems that are greater than the sum of their parts.